You have your Bibles, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'll read from verse 17 through chapter 3 and verse 5. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavor the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again. But Satan hindered us. For what is our hope, or joy, or crown of rejoicing? Are not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For you are our glory and joy. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timothy, our brother, and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourself know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. You know, we choose to live according to God's word. And when we make that choice, we should expect those around us not to like how we live, or what we believe, or what we teach. And if we are going to strive to be as close to God's message as possible and to strive to walk in his clear pathway, then society and its influence will find us intolerant of what God calls sinful behavior, but that the world calls normal and enlightened. I'd like, if you will, listen to a few verses before we come to our text in 1 Thessalonians. The first verse is from 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, and I'll be reading verses 12 and 13. And Peter writes, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy." And the second text is from 2 Timothy chapter 3. And in verses 12 and 13, Paul writes here, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." I think it's a truthful saying when I say that difficult times come to everyone. People experience pain and suffering, a lot of times because of the evil that's in this world. But it's God's message to us that if we choose to follow him, then we need to expect some degree of hatred from this world. The Bible reminds us that evil people love darkness rather than light. They love it so much that they want the light to be put out so that it doesn't expose the deeds of darkness. The world did not accept Jesus, but killed him. The world did not accept the message of the apostles, but killed them. So what should we expect if we take on the characteristics of Christ, and if we teach the same things the apostles taught? You know, part of what made the first century church such a tight-knit family was their need for one another. They leaned on each other in good times and in difficult times. Hebrews chapter 11 is a great chapter of faith concerning the people under the old law. Some of them died for their faith, but you know what they didn't have that we have was Jesus Christ. They could only hope for that, and we have received that. The Hebrew writer continues in chapter 12. And he tells us to keep our eyes on Christ who suffered, but who is now seated on the right hand of God. Then we get to two verses that speak very clearly to many of us in Hebrews 12 in verses 3 and 4. It says, "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin." Jesus told us that the thief comes to kill and destroy. John tells us that Satan was a murderer from the very beginning. Paul says that Satan's angels can appear as angels of light to deceive mankind. Peter tells us that Satan prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Yes, evil and sin are what we face all of the time. But sometimes we are under direct attack by evil forces. Paul writes to this young church in Thessalonica, because he was fearful of Satan's attack on them would cause them to walk away from their faith. But in the text that I read earlier, Paul is happy to hear that that wasn't the case. But he does tell them, and he tells us also, that Satan wants to hinder anything that is of God. And here we can look and see just how Satan went to work in that church. The first thing that Satan did was to get their source of spiritual teaching away from them. Let's go back and look at 1 Thessalonians 2 and verses 17 through 20. "But we, brethren, being taken away from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavor the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore we would come unto you, even I, Paul, once again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For you are our glory and joy." You know, I know some of the fights that Paul had, but I don't know the battles that Paul had with Satan. But Paul says that Satan had hindered them from coming to them. I don't like to quote denominational preachers, but some of them have some pretty good quotes. Calvin wrote, "For whenever the wicked molest us, they fight under Satan's banner and are his instruments for harassing us." Isolation is one of the greatest tools that Satan uses to weaken our faith. The less time we spend with God and the family of God, the more likely we are to fall to the temptations around us. Satan wanted to isolate these Christians from good teachers like Paul. But Paul kind of pulled a fast one on Satan in that he sent Timothy there to strengthen them. You know, Wednesday night after class, Susanna announced that the children were starting something. And she'd asked and solicited the help of us to make sure that all of our shut-ins are contacted or spoken with at least once a week. that they will always know that there are folks here that continue to care for them. That's from our children's class. You know, Paul here seems like he was trying to skirt what Satan was doing. And I don't know if that's true or not. But I just know that Paul did not allow these Christians to be spiritually alone. The second thing that Satan helped to orchestrate was the persecution that they were facing. Now, it may not have been Satan himself, but evil or evil workers accomplish Satan's goals. I want to jump ahead, 1 Thessalonians 3. I want to go to the end there, verses 3 through 5 first. Paul says that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know. For this cause I could no longer forbear, and I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter had tempted you and our labor be in vain. When you're all alone, and life is difficult because of our faith, quitting is easier. You know, some folks, when they are faced with the persecution and the evil of other people because of what they believe, a lot of them just come to the conclusion that it is just not worth it. Satan's goal is to get us to walk away from God. And persecution, maybe not the kind that the first century church, the early church faced, but the persecution, even what we face today, will do one of two things. It will either drive you away from God, or it will backfire on Satan and drive you closer to God. Now, Satan does not mind 50-50 odds. Satan is all in. Because if Satan can get 50 out of 100 people, he's thrilled. But our goal is to get 100% of 100. To keep faithful to God. Now I want to go back to the first two verses in chapter 3. Wherefore, when we were no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left alone at Athens and send Timothy, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you, to comfort you concerning your faith. And this comes, I guess, to the meat of the lesson tonight. God's protection for these young Christians, and yes, they were young Christians, was the encouragement given through Timothy. What Paul points out, and what I'm saying, is that God sometimes protects us through the strength of others. Paul was concerned that the tempter had tempted them to walk away from their faith. Paul could not be there. So Paul did the next best thing. He sent a faithful minister, one who had a deep and abiding love in God and Christ, one who was knowledgeable, one who could encourage. We need to be involved in the lives of Christians, especially those who are relatively young in their Christian walk. All these churches, the first century, are young churches. You look at how long this church has been in existence. It's around 1977. 40-some years, 50 years. This church was maybe less than 20 years old. Those of us who have walked with Christ for many years have faced the tempter, and we have remained strong. And we can use that strength to strengthen others. Now, the method that God gives for us to be able to do that is for the older to teach the younger. And so maybe it is time for a lot of us to start teaching, to start encouraging, and to start strengthening others. When Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, he understood the need to comfort them because of the difficulties that they were facing. And they had many difficulties from within and from without. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses 3 through 7, you oftentimes hear these words shared at funerals. But listen to what Paul says to them. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds in us. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. But whether we be comforted, it is your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so shall you also of the consolation. I've used these words before, and they're words of tremendous comfort. We're going to suffer, and we are going to be consoled. But it is better to suffer and be consoled when we are in Christ. And one of us may just well be the person that God wants to use to comfort others, because you may have been blessed when someone else walked through the storms of life with you. Satan wants Christians to fail. I'd like to close tonight with a reminder from the parable of the sower. Jesus explained that to his disciples, and he explained that the seed is the word of God and that the different soils describes the hearts of men. The pathway in which the seed hit is when a person's heart is hard, and it is easy for the evil one to snatch away the effect of God's word. The second is the rocky soil, that when persecution arises because of the word, these Christians immediately fall away. And that was Paul's fear for the brethren in Thessalonica. The next is the thorny, the weeds, the heart of the people who were unproductive because the world is more important to them than the next world. In each case, Satan and evil came to work. So we need to look at our hearts, and we need to make sure that it is in that good and productive soil to do everything that we can so that each and every one of us here makes that journey home. If there is anyone here this evening who has not obeyed the gospel, we want to give you that opportunity tonight. To be baptized for the remission of sins, to be added to His church, will be the best thing you have ever decided to do in your life. Period. All the other things that can happen in the world, that is the one thing that has an eternal promise. And maybe you are a child of God, and maybe you realize that you haven't done whatever you could to be able to be there for others. Or maybe there's just something within your life that feels empty. We want to give you that opportunity to change things around in your life through prayers of the saints, through comfort of one another. We can help each other to overcome whatever we face. If there's anyone that has a need this evening, we pray that you'll come as together we stand and we sing.